Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Danielle Bloom, and today we will examine Parshas Kisavo. In our journey through the Parshios of Devarim, we have explored the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu is leaving us his living will, a spiritual roadmap illuminating the core values of the Torah and a good life, such as hope, mission, gratitude, empathy, and lifelong learning. The Torah, our unwavering guide, outlines the principles for a righteous society. We discuss that discipline and self-control are not merely about restraint. They are about building our core so we more easily choose the right thing. This is essential for personal growth, success, and a meaningful existence. The Torah provides invaluable guidance on cultivating these virtues, empowering us to navigate life's challenges and temptations. Contemporary scholarship is only now uncovering the Torah's rich tapestry of wisdom, offering new perspectives on our people's legacy and unmatched historical achievements. This growing recognition highlights the Torah's enduring significance and points to the divine hand shaping our history. This week, we'll delve into another profound gift Moshe Rabbeinu bestowed upon us, the interrelated secrets of simcha and self-esteem. By understanding these two key concepts, we can unlock the central theme of this parsha and our sefer as a whole. Simcha, one of the three thematic words in our sefer, along with Shema and Ahava, is a vital ingredient for a fulfilling life. Through Moshe's timeless wisdom, we'll discover how to cultivate both joy and self-worth, enriching our lives and building a foundation of inner peace. The end of our parsha presents a lengthy series of afflictions known as the Tochacha, a terrifying list of the worst imaginable sufferings that the Jewish people could endure, even more severe than those described in Parshas Bechukosai. It is a description of the dark side of our history, only miraculously written in advance. The Torah's explanation for why these devastating curses befall us is truly astonishing. They come as a consequence of not serving Hashem besimcha uvetov levav merov kol, with joy and gladness in the abundance of everything. This is surprising for a couple of reasons. First, is this fair? Does the punishment fit the crime? Can such overwhelming tragedies, crusades, Khmelnytsky massacres, Inquisition, expulsion, the Holocaust, really be the result of not serving Hashem with joy? It's hard to comprehend that such profound suffering could be due to a lack of happiness. Secondly, can we realistically be expected to be joyful all the time? Life is full of challenges and hardships. How can we be happy in the face of tragedy, such as the loss of a loved one? It seems almost impossible and even inappropriate. Yet the Mishnah tells us, "Kishem shemavarchem al hatov, kach mevarchem al hara." Just as we bless God for the good, so too should we bless for the bad. This is derived from something we have referenced before: "B'chol meodecha, b'chol mido, mido shemodelach," serving Hashem from whichever life circumstances we are given. And the Gemara adds that this blessing should be said b'simcha, with joy. On the other hand, the Gemara instructs us to hire a eulogizer to make people cry during a funeral, underscoring that there are times when sadness is not only appropriate but necessary. In Koheles, we are reminded, Eis Livkos, there is a time to cry. This seems to create a paradox. Can we be crying and be besimcha at the same time? How do we reconcile the Torah's demand for simcha with the reality of human experience, where grief and sorrow are an inevitable part of life? To address this question, let's explore how the Malbim defines simcha. In Tehillim, David HaMelech offers a profound insight into true stability and joy. In this famous pasuk, which the Rama uses in his introduction to Shulchan Aruch, Shivisi Hashem lenegdi samid ki mimini bal emot. I place Hashem before me at all times, and because He is always by my side, I will not stumble. Continues with the next pasuk, Lachein tzamach libi, so my heart rejoices. What is the connection between these two psukim? How does having Hashem before me lead to happiness? Malbim explains that true joy comes from a person who has developed discipline and mastered self-control. Hamoshel beruchu machnia tavosav libo sameach ki natzach es hamilchama. He rejoices because he has won the war. Such a person is no longer battling himself. By placing Hashem as an ever-present guide, we live an integrated life where we are not in conflict with ourselves. Our body and soul are aligned. This alignment, where we conquer our desires and harmonize our actions with our spiritual goals, leads to a deep and enduring sense of simcha and security. The key here is understanding that simcha does not mean happy. This mistranslation is what leads to our confusion. The word simcha refers to an underlying sense of contentment, gratitude, serenity, and acceptance in serving Hashem, even during difficult times. Avarta, the pasuk is focusing on the work. The Torah isn't commanding constant happiness. It's emphasizing the importance of cultivating a general attitude of joy and gratitude in our service to God. The failure to do so reflects a lack of appreciation, which the Torah sees as the root of the curses. When a person makes a bracha, dayin ha'emes, upon the death of a loved one, the Torah explains, Nimtza shebekabalas ra'azu hu oved Hashem shehi simcha lo. By accepting this bad experience, he is serving Hashem, which is a simcha for him. That it is not that you are happy that your loved one died. You're besimcha because you have done what Hashem told you to do in this awful moment. The acceptance of what cannot be changed is an act of service to Hashem. This service of Hashem is what generates the simcha. Simcha isn't about constant cheerfulness. It's the natural byproduct of a life well lived, marked by consistent choices aligned with Torah values. As you grow in your understanding and practice of Torah, simcha will follow. It's not a destination to be chased, but rather an outcome of a life dedicated to a meaningful mission and purpose. Now that we've explored the concept of simcha, let's examine its profound connection to self-esteem, because you can't really have one without the other. Renowned psychologist and self-esteem theorist Nathaniel Brandon asserts, "Of all the judgments we pass in life, none is more important than the judgment we pass on ourselves. Our self-esteem, the lens through which we view the world, profoundly impacts our actions, relationships, and overall well-being. Without a healthy sense of self-worth, it's challenging to experience true joy. It's the foundation upon which we build our lives. Understanding self-esteem is crucial for developing a healthy sense of self-worth. Many people mistakenly equate self-esteem with arrogance or narcissism, but it's entirely different. Carl Rogers defined it as the organized, consistent set of perceptions and beliefs about oneself. Similarly, Brandon describes it as the experience of being competent to cope with the basic challenges of life and of being worthy of happiness. Developing this healthy self-esteem is key to living a life filled with genuine joy and purpose. Many may not realize that it's also a mitzvah in the Torah. The pasuk v'ahavta l'recha kamocha commands us to love our fellow as ourselves, implying an obligation to love ourselves as well. Self-esteem has two key components. The first is recognizing that you are unique and irreplaceable, created in the image of Hashem. The Lubavitcher Rebbe celebrated birthdays for this very reason. He said, "Your birthday is the day Hashem decided the world could not go on another day without you." The second component comes from the choices you make. Are you proud of how you're using your unique talents and abilities to serve Hashem? Are you serving Hashem b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol modecha? Let's uncover together the recipe outlined in the parsha for achieving the state of simcha and self-esteem. There are only three instances in the Torah where we are given a specific text and commanded to recite it, and two of them appear in this week's parsha. The first is Mikra Bikurim, the declaration a farmer makes when bringing his first fruits to Yerushalayim. The second is Vidoy Maaser, the declaration made twice every 7 years, affirming that the proper maasros have been taken from one's produce. These set texts are deeply significant. Mikra Bikurim is not just a ritual. It's a moment of profound gratitude where the farmer acknowledges God's blessings and connects his personal financial success to the broader narrative of the Jewish people. The farmer is using the fruits to thank Hashem for the land, to recognize his place in the story of the Jewish people and the gifts he has been given. And this fosters both gratitude and self-esteem. Vidoy Maaser adds another layer, as the Maaser cycles, where different tithes are given to the Levites, the poor, and others, are designed to foster empathy in the farmer. By declaring that he has given the proper tithes, the farmer not only fulfills a mitzvah, but also affirms his role in supporting the community, particularly those in need. He has served Hashem b'chol modecha. This act of giving reinforces his sense of responsibility, his connection to others, and his place in the family of the Jewish people, further building his self-worth. Through these declarations, the individual strengthens his relationship with Hashem, his community, and his own sense of purpose, appreciating the gifts and responsibilities that come with his blessings. The farmer concludes the vidoy with a powerful declaration of self-esteem, stating, "Shamati b'kol Hashem Elokai asisi k'chol asher tzivisani. I have listened, obeyed, heard, internalized the voice of Hashem my God. Asisi k'chol asher tzivisani. I have done all that you have commanded me." This statement is more than just a reflection on his actions. It's an affirmation of his worth and integrity. When a person can look in the mirror and confidently say, "Hashem, I have done all that you have asked of me," he's not only acknowledging his fulfillment of divine commandments, he's affirming his own value and purpose. This declaration serves as a solid foundation for his self-worth, providing him with an unshakable sense of confidence and inner strength. In this moment, he stands on a rock of certainty, knowing that he has lived up to his highest potential and aligns his life with Hashem's will. Now he can turn to Hashem and ask him to bless us. "I have done mine. Now you do yours. Look down from your heavenly abode and bless your nation, Israel. Hashkifa m'mon katshacham en hashamayim uvarech es amcha es Yisrael." A prayer like this can only come from the self-confidence of a person who knows he has done all that Hashem has asked of him. He has fulfilled v'ahavtas Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol modecha. He has served Hashem with all that he has. He has upheld his mission. These testimonies got me thinking about the thematic organization of the parsha, because after these we find other examples. Moshe transitions into another testimony, the blessings and curses on Hargrizim and Har Eval that the nation will recite, with everyone responding Amen. These curses are especially associated with actions often done in private, or the Torah emphasizes the word Seser, secret, to make it clear that there should be no discrepancy between our public and private lives. We cannot behave one way in front of others and another way when no one is looking. This is the definition of integrity. The final curse is particularly striking. Arvur asher lo yakim es devrei haTorah hazos. Ramban asks, "Asher lo yakim," literally, "that does not stand up, v'chi yesh Torah no fellas, but is there a falling Torah?" He answers, Lamad vili made v'shamar v'asav v'hayasipek b'yadol l'achzik v'lo echazik, hareza b'chal or. Even if a person learns and teaches Torah, observes and fulfills its commandments, but fails to use their means to strengthen the Torah, they are included in this curse. This isn't just about personal conduct. It's about what you stand for and making a Kiddush Hashem. The recipe is becoming clearer. When I understand who I am in relation to God and my fellow human beings, and live a life aligned with those values and with integrity, I have the power to make the Torah come, to uphold and elevate it. This leads us to the section referred to as the Tochacha, the extreme blessings and curses. If we understand our mission, internalize it, and keep to it, we will receive blessings beyond measure. What is that mission? The parasha continues, to be an Am Kadosh, to walk in Hashem's ways, v'halachta b'drachav. This is a cornerstone mitzvah of the Torah. Chazal explained, Mahu racham, afata racham. We have an obligation to emulate the midos of Hashem in all of our interactions. And then, v'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nekra alecha v'yar'u mimecha. All the peoples of the earth shall see that Hashem's name is proclaimed over you, and they shall stand in awe of you. Literally, people will see you and say, wow, what an incredible people. This idea is echoed in the words of the Navi Yeshayahu when he declares, Atem Edai, you are my witnesses. Witnesses to what? All of the testimonies of this parasha have now answered this question. We are witnesses to the reality of Hashem in this world, to the power and truth of his guidance. When we live with simcha, we bear witness to the fact that a life aligned with divine will is the most fulfilling and rewarding life one can lead. But if chas v'shalom we do not live true to our mission, we will suffer terribly. What is listed in our parasha are not real words and punishments. They are statements of fact. The world will see and notice us, either because we suffer so much or because we are so blessed. The parasha's structure unfolds a progression of testimonies, each deepening the Jewish people's commitment to aligning their public and private lives with Torah values. Har Grizim and Har Evel emphasizes the importance of living with integrity, ensuring that actions, both public and private, reflect the Torah's principles. The final curse there serves as a powerful reminder that upholding and strengthening the Torah as a whole is crucial, not just for individual actions, but also for making a positive impact on the world. The Tochacha reinforces that the consequences of our actions are visible to the world, serving as a testimony to God's presence in our lives. To inspire others and radiate peace and serenity, a positive self-esteem is essential, as we've defined Simcha. Our parasha offers a blueprint for cultivating this inner serenity, teaching us that by building a solid core of peace within ourselves, we can radiate outward, demonstrating a life truly lived to its fullest potential. No one is inspired by a grouch. No one finds inspiration in someone who's constantly sour or negative. A gloomy attitude doesn't uplift others or spark enthusiasm. Instead, it's the warmth of a positive, joyful spirit that draws people in, motivates them, and leaves a lasting impact. To inspire others, we must first embody the energy and optimism we wish to share. Rav Moshe Feinstein was well known for emphasizing that a Jew should never say, Es ist schwer zu sein Jid, it's difficult to be a Jew. Yes, we do need to live a life of discipline and self-control, but it shouldn't be painfully written on our faces. Instead, a Jew should proclaim, both in words and through actions, Atem Edai, you are my witnesses. With every aspect of our being, we should demonstrate that it's geschmack to be a Yid, a true joy and privilege. Ritzoneinu la'asos ritzonecha. Our faces should radiate Ashreinu matol chalkeinu, how fortunate we are to have the Holy Torah to guide our lives. This positive outlook is magnetic. It not only uplifts the individual, but also serves as a powerful testimony to the world, showcasing the beauty and richness of Jewish life. It pulls people toward us. This isn't just about personal contentment. It's about projecting a living testimony that God's ways are the source of true happiness and serenity. Our lives, filled with simcha, serve as a powerful testament to the world, showing others that this inner peace is attainable and real. Your Judaism should feel natural, flowing from who you are. This is what creates true happiness, using your unique gifts in the service of Hashem to make the world a better place. When you are aligned with this purpose, it builds self-esteem. Conversely, when you're not integrated, when your actions and identity are out of sync, it erodes self-esteem. We all know how we feel when we do something that we're not proud of, like losing our cool with family members or eating something we know is bad for our health. And it's good that we feel that way because it gets us back on track. The first part of self-esteem is about intrinsic worth, knowing that each person has an essential God-given value and mission. The second part is about how you live that out, whether your actions reflect your unique purpose and service to Hashem. True self-esteem comes from both recognizing your inherent value and actively fulfilling your potential in a way that aligns with your divine purpose. When your life and actions are in harmony with your true self, it fosters self-esteem and happiness. When they're not, it leads to a sense of disconnection and a decline in self-worth. In this week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu concludes the second of the three speeches that form the backbone of our sefer with a clear and resonant message. The Torah is good for you. This is the same message he began with in this very speech. Back in Perek Vav, as Moshe launched into the central and major discourse of the Sefer, he framed it with the following sentence that we recognized from the Haggadah. There will come a time in the future when your children will ask you, Ki yish alcha bincha machar lemar, Why are we keeping all of these laws? And you will answer, Avadim hayinu leparo b'mitzrayim. We were slaves to Paro in Mitzrayim, and Hashem saved us. He performed many miracles, and He brought us to this land that He had promised our forefathers. He commanded us to keep all of these laws. L'tov lanu kol hayamim l'chayoseinu kayom hazeh. For our own good, for all days, so that we may survive until today. Our children need to understand, both through our words and our actions, that the Torah and mitzvot are the keys to living the best life possible. This truth should be reflected in everything we do. The Torah is not just a set of rules. It's the glue that holds our families and communities together, providing a framework for a life filled with meaning, purpose, and joy. It's the perfect recipe for building healthy self-esteem and true simcha, guiding us to live in harmony with ourselves, our families, and our Creator. Thank you for learning together.